Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.904 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Rockets in action tonight against Portland. At Portland, Dell. They got to travel to Portland.
Never an easy place for the Rockets to win a ball game. Portland has been one of their nemesis, and particularly at the Rose Garden, or whatever they call it now.
Do you think it's
going to be a little different than the Rose Garden? But
do you think there will be Proud Boys and Antifa in the virtual crowd?
Maybe
they'll just have some Proud Boys sitting there and some Antifa in the crowd.
Well, since the federal government left Portland, peaceful protest. Look at that.
Is it peaceful?
Yeah, I guess since they left, we're not seeing the footage of the back and forth between law enforcement and the Portland crowd.
Man, I got into a rabbit hole 3 days ago of watching Proud Boys or whatever different groups there are versus, there's different names, versus Antifa. Like, there's whole video collections set up for, like, one guy, this guy named Tiny, apparently got, he was on probation because he goes to Portland to fight. These are just set up like, well, I'm in, you know, I do my fight. I fight in Portland. I fight Antifa. They go on the streets and then they scrap, right? They fight. He got arrested.
They just go and fight Antifa?
Yeah, or Antifa goes and fights in, they'll travel for road games, or they do home and aways. And so, apparently this guy went to the Chop, or Chaz, or whatever. And he's like, okay. Him and his crew went there. Now, he's on probation. So now I think he's going to go to prison, because he's on probation, and he's not supposed to go to these things, but he's like, I can't. This is like the Super Bowl.
So he's going to miss tonight's game?
Yeah, he's like, man, this is like the Super Bowl. Chaz, you kidding me? So he rolled up and they caught video of him and his crew kind of roughing up this guy who had been taping him. And so then I didn't know who he was, and I got into, before you know it, I'm reading articles on him. I'm reading articles about the Proud Boys. I'm reading articles on Antifa. And then there's videos on YouTube. And then, of course, oh, Lance, we just noticed you just watched this Antifa versus Proud Boy fight. We think you might also, we would like to also recommend this. Of course, there's also lots of wrestling videos recommended because Snacks, you know, searches wrestling videos off of my account. So I've got a ton of wrestling videos recommended.
Letting that kid mess up your algorithm.
Yeah, he messed up the algorithm for sure. But so I ended up going into a rabbit hole. I mean, it's crazy. They just sit out there and wait for something to pop off. And then like seven people from one group will just bum rush somebody. And then they jump off and then they try to get away before cops come in, pepper spray everybody and hit them with batons. And the cops or the riot patrol, whatever it is, they're literally just, it's not like they're making arrests. They're just trying to disperse fights nonstop. It's crazy. And this is just the other day. It was popping off like this. This is what they do. You can see these fights dating back. This is almost like I'm watching a derby. It's like, oh, I'm going to see the highlights from the Seattle derby of when Proud Boys and Antifa fought back in 2016. Oh, here's one from Portland, 2017.
And if you're out there wondering,
here's last week.
If you're out there wondering what this has to do with when John mentioned the Rockets versus the Blazers tonight, I believe Dame will have Proud Boys on his shoes.
Dame is not going to have Proud Boys.
So look out for that tonight.
Or Antifa on his shoes. No one's going to have those messages.
Proud Boys, the Proud Boy twos is what he's wearing tonight.
The Proud Boy twos.
Blazers two behind the Grizz, tied with San Antonio. Pelicans 2.5 back. Sacramento 23. And 23. Sacramento is 3 back, and the Suns are 3.5 back. You want to talk about a race?
Yeah, the Spurs were up late against the Sixers last night. I think DeJounte Murray sloughed off on Shake Milton, hit a 3 to give the Sixers lead. Eventually won that game after being up big and almost blew it again. The Sixers a little dysfunctional. The Spurs have been playing really well. Should be 3-0 in the bubble. Now 2-1. I'm telling you, Pelicans won last night against the Grizz, but I'm telling you, we're on some crash course of, because I feel like the Grizzlies are too far ahead unless they come. Well, they're falling apart, but the Spurs
being involved.
I know we're getting close to a scenario where the Spurs are going to be really involved in a potential play-in.
I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't be surprised. Now the Blazers got a lot tougher schedule.
Yeah,
a lot tougher schedule. Then the Pelicans have a breeze in.
They're just atrocious defensively. So they'll be in games where you don't think they should be in games, but they can't stop anybody. That's their biggest problem.
So they're just 2.5 back. Blazers 2 back. San Antonio 2 back. I'm telling you, I know the Blazers have the lot tougher run. I wouldn't be surprised. So what do you think the line is tonight?
I'm going to say the visiting team 5.5.
Del?
I'm going to go Rockets 2.
Rockets 4. Mm. Right in between you two. Rockets 4.
You like the Rockets.
I love the Rockets. I don't know. The Blazers always give them a tough game.
Daryl Morey said you're kind of anti-Rocket.
No, I'm not. I'm going to be rooting for them. I don't like them giving 4 in this spot.
You don't?
Nope.
One thing I've noticed is teams tend to cover the numbers. The better teams, I don't know.
Well, the Blazers
not last night.
And the Blazers are a new team anyway, considering what they were before they got in the bubble. And then they added 2 starters back. And
that's true.
They played well in the bubble. Obviously beat Memphis in their first game and then lost a close one.
That's true. If the Rockets aren't playing defense, that 4 is not a big number. I mean, it's neutral. It's a neutral site game. It's not a big number, but...
Nurkic is back averaging 24. He had 30 against Boston in the loss.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. But they got smashed against Boston. Boston took it to him.
Nah, they fought back.
One by 4.
They're getting blown out.
Oh, wait, that's right. Boston screwed me Boston screwed people I know.
What?
Because it was 4.5, and they were up by 19 at the half, yeah. Right? 18, 19.
Up big.
68 to 49, and then... Boston went
into control. You didn't bet them back the second half. You didn't bet the Spurs back second half, did you? Well, that's on you.
No, that's not me. Somebody I know.
Someone didn't bet the Spurs back second half.
Somebody wasn't paying attention to even what the game was.
Or Portland back second half.
Somebody just probably checked the score at the end and said, oh, man, let me see how that happened. What?
Well, Portland had a lead, and then the Celtics made a couple of plays to win it. But, yeah, Portland's played really well. And but the Rockets have too, so it should be a entertaining game. That's been the best part of the bowl. People are like, wow, there's been a lot of good games. Well, most of the teams in the bubble are good basketball teams. I mean, you have the bottom part who are trying to get into the play-in, but even those teams, like Portland, has their starters back. Almost every team that we're watching is a playoff team. So the games have been really good, which has been good to tune into.
You think Melo's got something for the Rockets tonight, next team?
I don't know. It's Melo. I mean, he hit big shots against the Grizz. He had multiple threes down the stretch to kind of give the Blazers some breathing room, but he did not shoot the ball that well against the Celtics. He is what he is. If you give him open shots, he'll make them. But I'm not worried about Melo having a big.
The Rockets don't give anybody open.
Yeah, shots. you do make a point. No one takes open shots against.
Nobody gets open shots against our Rockets. Actually, well, no, they just come up with about 3 minutes of defense.
Yeah, at the end of the game. At least in the bubble, they've found ways to make plays in the game. Caught a break with the Robert Covington tip-in, but they've been good defensively at the most opportune times.
You know, that's why it worries me a little bit, is that a given 4 with the Rockets, they struggle to put anybody away because they keep everybody close with their defense.
Particularly a team that has 2 big-time guards. I don't know how they're going to be controlling McCollum and Dame. And then they have size that the Rockets won't be able to combat. It's not the greatest matchup in the world, but the Rockets will try to beat them like they always beat everyone. They'll beat you with offense.
They just looked really good. It's hard to bet against them, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's actually 2 teams who are playing really good basketball. Should be another good one tonight. That'll be the second game of the TNT doubleheader.
Anytime you have those 2 guards, the guard-on-guard play here is low-key the best. It's going to be the best that you will see. It'll be the best that you see in the bubble the rest of the year.
You think this is the best matchup of guard play?
I think the way Russ has played, James always plays, Dame and CJ, yeah. Can you think of a better? I can't even come close to thinking about anybody that level of star power. I mean, McCollum's not a star. He's a great shooter who can score. I don't think anyone else is going to come close to this combination of this 2-on-2 guard play. Can you?
I'm thinking as you're talking, as far as the backcourts who are still around, I don't think you can. I mean,
no.
Now, I'm not sure it's even close.
I mean, Shai Gilgeous and Chris Paul are really good, too.
Yeah.
But as far as established star level, even MVP level for the Rockets, I don't think you're going to find a better combo. I think the Thunder are next as far as two backcourt guys, but they're not at this level as far as the game we're going to see tonight.
914 ESPN 97.5. What about the games you're going to see at Constellation Field? Major League Baseball canceled all their minor leagues this summer with the help of Roger Clemens. The Sugarland Skeeters formed a new four-team league, put live baseball back on the field. See professional baseball live in person through August. 21 players already reached the big leagues. 13 are former number one, or first-round picks, rather. Team Texas is managed by Kobe and Roger Clemens. Full roster of players from Texas universities, especially UT. Enjoy the minor league atmosphere, one of the nicest parks in the country. Social distancing allows 2,000 fans a night, and the ballpark is thoroughly sanitized before each game. Fireworks every Friday night. Giveaways Saturday and Sunday. Tickets start at just $9. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. For some reason, Lamont sent us coming soon, 2021. I Know What You Did Last Summer. Are you guys excited about I Know What You Did Last Summer?
So it's just a reboot?
I don't know. 2021.
So
nothing. I Know What You Did Last Summer. Nothing. Oh,
I thought I was going to get me a Jennifer Love Hewitt movie. Apparently not.
I know. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Well, back in the day.
Yeah. Even now.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what she looks like now. She's been out of the public eye for a bit.
You know who's now worried about that?
Yeah, she has been. When's the last time I saw Jennifer Love Hewitt?
She was in that hooker show. Like, she went from, like, masseuse to, like, extra benefits type show. I think it might have been on E. I don't remember. I think she's still acting, but I haven't seen anything I've watched in a long time.
You know who's not worried about that first round picks party? Bill O'Brien.
No, I saw that tweet. You don't have to worry.
Alex, good
one. It's not a first or second round pick, unless it was Charlie Heck, but I just don't think it was Charlie Heck.
It's probably not going to be Charlie Heck. Okay, we can stop that
rumor.
See
it. Yeah, I just don't see it being Charlie Heck.
Yes.
Mark Berman last night said, Astros purchased contract right-hand pitcher, and I'm going to read this, and I don't need your comment. Chase DeJong from Sugar Land Skeeters. Oh. He'd been pitching for Team Skeeters in the Constellation Energy League. The source says DeJong will join the Astros pending physical and COVID-19. What do you know? A minor league system is developing out of the Skeeters, the Sugar Land Skeeters Constellation Field League. And you know what? Like, we did the commercial for you got a chance to go out there and actually watch these guys. They're going to make it to the bigs.
Good
a lot
ball.
Of these players.
Good yeah. ball. A lot of good players.
He actually went to my former high school. At least one of the high schools I went to. Woodrow Wilson. He's out of Long Beach. Chase DeJong. He's out of Long Beach.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's out of Long Beach, California. Went to a high school I went to. It's not that type.
I didn't think it was. Yeah,
Chase. What? Chase should have gave it away.
Do hit what?
Chase Louis
DeJong.
DeJong. He's more French than.
Oh, yeah. Chase DeJong.
Actually, I don't know what DeJong is. D E J O N G. I don't know where that originates from. Actually,
it's Nordic.
Actually, it's Dutch because I remember some Dutch soccer players with that last name.
Really?
Yeah. Frankie de Jong. He's currently a Dutch soccer player.
I don't even know.
Plays for Barcelona.
I don't know any Dutch accents.
Oh, I guess you're bleep out of luck.
Yeah.
You just do this. It's a default accent.
That's not what you do.
Yeah. That's how the Dutch sound also. Do you know, Dell, I think you've got serious competition for... I get through a decent amount of shows right now. Even pre-pandemic, I would get through shows. I've always considered Dell to be the champion of that. I'm not sure you are anymore. John is getting recommendations on a Saturday, and he's done by a Sunday.
Well, like, what did he watch?
The new NARC, or when the last NARC.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody recommended the last NARC to us.
I watched four episodes.
Whatever.
Isn't that all there is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah.
only four. I'm going through eight episodes in a matter of four or five days. Don't get
jealous. You don't have to be jealous of what John's doing.
I did it one.
Whatever. I just finished Umbrella Academy.
I did it Saturday night.
Umbrella Academy came out on Sunday. I'm done on Tuesday. Guys are bragging about this.
I honestly, I'm not sure you're watching more than John.
No. Well,
we're
I don't
on
know.
Queen of the South right now.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about. What is Queen of the South?
It's pretty good. It's a she's a cartel. It's a cartel thing.
Oh.
Mexican cartel.
Oh, so is it based? Is it a spinoff from Narcos?
No. It's not real. Yeah, it's not reality. It's not. It's not reality based. It's a story. It's a story. But it is. I mean, it's reality based because it's about cartels. But it's not a true story.
It's not based on a true story.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm watching right now. I think it's called Fear in New York City. Maybe. Del, have you heard of it?
No.
I guess it's fairly new. On Netflix, and it's only three episodes, so you can finish that, John, today.
New York versus the Mafia.
It's New York versus the Mafia, and what it
Fear
is
City.
Is they've got tapes of the five families. Okay, can you name the five families without looking? Can you name the five families?
No.
Yeah, you can. All right.
Well,
I'll give you...
know them all, but I...
Okay, so you've got the Genoveses.
Mm-hmm.
The Bananas, mm-hmm. That was a tough one.
Joe Bonanno wrote the Veloce, not the Veloce, he was in the Veloce papers.
Yeah, Lucchese.
Uh-huh, the Boots.
The big one.
The one that Gotti ran?
Yeah, what was it? Columbo.
Okay.
And there's one, I'm missing a big one now, of the five families. And the five families...
Gambino.
The
Gambinos.
There, the Gambinos. So the five families, so they were able, they talked to old FBI agents who were involved in wiretapping, and they've got wiretaps of different conversations that were being had, and they talk about how basically these mob families, they completely ran New York. Like, they were in everything. The fish markets, they had the fish. They had all the construction. This was when construction was getting big in New York. They had, you know, tax breaks in the 80s. And so all this construction was going up for high rise because New York in the 70s, you know, not good. And so even Trump, like a younger Trump, they're showing him and they're like, Trump, you know, Trump's got to pay too if he wants his concrete. Like, because they got into the concrete business. They strong arm they were in there. They're hustling mom and pops. They want 30% of mom and pop businesses. It doesn't matter who you are. The mafia was getting theirs. And they found ways and they showed you how they bugged people's cars, what they had to do to bug cars and things like that. You listen. It's okay so far. I mean, it's true. It's not based on a true story. It's a documentary. But what is very striking is when you hear these recordings, and it's not great recordings, but they do have the subtitles. It sounds exactly like Tony Soprano at times. The way he talks in his voice, it sounds like Joe Pesci from all the mob movies. You'll watch this and be like, none of the movies was out of line at all. It was 100% accurate. Every TV show and every mob movie, it felt exactly 100% accurate to real stuff that I'm hearing. Like, wow. This seriously feels like a scene out of The Sopranos, and it's like every single time. We own this, you know, concrete business. They want a piece of us. They're either going to come to us, or we're going to come to them, and we'll shoot them and kill them, and then we'll see what happens. And I'm like, wow, this is real conversations.
They're going to be dead. That's what happens if you shoot them and kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll see.
Then we'll see
and
what happens. We'll see.
Make them come to me.
Then the we'll see what said, happens.
But they've got Michael Francisi. They got a guy who was a strong man, kind of I won't call him a hitman, but you can tell, like, he was the tough guy.
If you know what's good for you, you won't call him a hitman.
Yeah, he was the collector. He was the tough guy. And this first scene, they show him, like, right now, punching a bag, a heavy bag. And then he sits there with a sleeveless shirt, and this guy's probably 64, and he's yoked. And right now, you don't want it with this guy at all.
Some
and he's talk about what they would do.
Some trivia. The current five family names are all different from the original five family names. They've all changed.
Have they?
Yes, I guess through marriage or whatever. But yeah,
Clay, Granato, Holgerson, Damaris,
and what's Nick's last name?
Nick Rincuso.
Rincuso.
The five families of Houston.
Is that, do y'all meet and y'all do five family stuff?
Yeah.
Nick, does Nick always go to, he's not out and about drinking with you guys in the same spots, is he?
Not too much. He's busy. He's busy. All right. He's got to keep his people. Yeah, no. 926, they didn't change the Gambino family from the Granato family or the Damaris. No,
the Gambino family was once the Maggiano family, not the Granato family.
They've all changed, huh?
Yeah. The Bonanno was a Marizano. The Colombo was a Profaci. Maggiano was, Gambino was Maggiano.
Genovese. What do you mean they changed?
Like original family names.
Because when the boss
when
died,
dies,
Bonanno took over. And
yeah.
Not through marriage.
Some guy dies and the boss dies. Someone else takes over. And Luciano is now Genovese. And Gagliano is
Lucky
now
Luciano.
Lucchese. Yeah. All new names.
Yeah.
Are they still running?
Yeah, in some way, shape, or form.
The mob is still going?
I don't know if there's... Look, I don't want to speak ill of the mob. I don't want to speak...
Nor do I.
I don't want to speak about their business, so I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that they're still active in some way, shape, or form. That's all. And that's all I'll say about it.
You got to watch Making the Mafia. Making of the Mafia is excellent.
Oh, that was... I thought this was the one you're talking about.
That tells about the whole origin of New York and Chicago. How the outfit, it was called The Outfit, from Capone to Tony Accardo.
So there's two documentaries that I love watching because it spans into different cities. And it's Mafia Docs and Punk Rock Docs. Because there's a punk rock scene in Chicago, one in Washington, one in New York. There's mafia scenes in Chicago, in New York. And then I don't know about what other families. I think I'd always heard that Youngstown, Ohio had kind of a different, not... wasn't mafia, but like a big bookie area. Remember, Willie B used to talk about that. That was kind of a famous deal. Apocalypse Poppy says, that Antifa brawl segment sounded like you were describing scenes from Gangs of New York. Oop. It's not dissimilar. It's not dissimilar from when you go down the rabbit hole and you see it and you see like a group march together. The only thing missing is a dead rabbit on a stick. It's the only thing I don't see.
They said in the Making the Mafia in Chicago, they think Tony Accardo is the guy that took out, not Gotti. He's buried in Giant Stadium.
It's not Gotti who's buried.
No.
Hoffa.
Oh, really?
They think he's took out Hoffa.
Well, the other guy from the painter from The Irishman claims he's the one that did it.
Yeah. Well, this one said. They had a meeting, and actually, Hoffa wronged the outfit. And
well, do you know he probably wronged
Tony Accardo?
Yeah,
Tony Accardo is one of the great because you probably don't know
what's
that name.
The outfit.
The outfit is the Chicago. It's
because you know what New
Capone.
York was called?
What?
The Five Families. I never knew this before. The Five Families, and this is how they got them, is because when they conspired to be together, they had what was called the commission, where they all sat on the commission. You were in the commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you can't be in the commission. He wants to sit on commission. He can't be on commission. That's coming through. And they said, all of a sudden, we start hearing chatter about commission. Because they had five different groups of the FBI agents like, okay, you guys are part of this family. You don't have to share information. And then they realized they keep saying a commission all the time in these. And it's the five heads were like, that was their own little, you know, it was like their board of operators, mm-hmm. board of governors. And once they did that,
they're
like,
all commissioners.
Oh, wait a minute. We got them on RICO. They're all working together mm-hmm. as a single unit. So I bet the outfit, did they call it the outfit?
The outfit.
Bet it's the same thing as the commission.
Yep. Well, yeah. It went from Capone to Nitti, Frank Nitti, and Paul Rica and Antonio Cardo. Antonio Cardo is probably the greatest criminal ever because you probably didn't hear. He's not like the.
I have heard that name before.
But like the Gambinos and the Capones. And he wanted no fanfare, no nothing. He always stayed, never got arrested. He ended his life as
undefeated?
A salesman, undefeated.
So he's the Rocky Marciano of mafia?
He really is.
Or the Floyd Mayweather?
No, didn't get whacked.
Money Accardo?
Didn't get whacked. Didn't spend a day in jail.
Got out of the business?
And he was the boss. He was the big boss.
And he got out of the business into sales?
And got out of the business. He's like the perfect mobster.
Oh, and The Last Snark? Did you mention that, John?
Yeah.
That's the one about like Narcos season?
Kiki Camarena.
He was in Narcos. It was a guy that
it was all about Kiki's death.
The DEA agent in Narcos season.
Oh wow,
that's three that, Mexico or season two Mexico.
I forget which season it was, but yeah, it was season all
two,
about
the
Kiki,
last the season real came out.
And oh, by the way, Narcos got it a little wrong.
Yeah, according to even the preview.
And
that
you
want
to talk about?
Well, they even say they take some liberties.
Do you want to talk about the baddest ass you'll ever see? Is Hector Bayesa, I believe his name is.
But something like that.
Yeah, Bayesa,
something like that.
Whatever. You want to talk about a badass?
Who was he with?
He was a DEA.
Oh, but we never saw him in Narcos.
Never saw him in Narcos. No, it's not about him. He is. Wait, do you see? Why do you watch? It's really good.
It's on Amazon. The last one. Watch it.
I'll check that out too. I got to finish my. That's the other thing I love about Mafia. Fat Tony Tony Salerno. They call him Fat Tony. They had a guy in there named Tony Ducks. You know, his name was Tony Ducks because he was able to duck. What do you call it? Indictment, not indict. Well, he ducked indictments. Every time they came to arrest him, he was always not home. Like, he's always ducking that. What is it called when they give you your subpoena? Mm-hmm. He could duck subpoenas. So they just called him
Tony Ducks.
This guy's always getting out of it. He's Tony Ducks. And before you know it, he's Tony Ducks. So FBI agents, we had a chance to catch up with Tony Ducks. That's his name now. It's Tony Ducks, this one guy. Not Fat Tony. Fat Tony's a different
thing. 932 ESPN 975 713-780-3776.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Aren't the five families Maggiano, DiGiorno, Ragu, Tostino, and Boyardee? Sincerely, Steve franchise. Is Stevie... What?
I mean,
did Stevie get that heavy?
That might be just the basis of
that's
your...
That's disrespectful.
It is a little disrespectful. I mean, there are a lot of people who associate anything they know about Italian stuff with those particular names because, well... But no, though, that isn't the five families.
Well, I've seen Stevie French. I mean, I've seen Stevie last couple... Maybe he's going on a couple of years now, but he wasn't that heavy.
Tostino. Pizza rolls?
Boyardee?
Chef Boyardee.
Come on, Tone. Come on. Put a little respect on his name.
Yeah, he wasn't. I don't think
Stevie's that heavy.
No. I saw him at baseball last year.
No.
He's at the Post Oak League. He looks in good shape. I wonder who's talking. Is he talking about somebody else? Maybe he's thinking of somebody else.
No, I think he's taking a shot at Steve Francis.
But he's
wrong on that one.
Yeah. I mean, if the five families were Seagrams and...
Oh, here we go.
That's a different deal.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Hendricks and Seagrams and Botanist.
Hey.
Blackland. I just know all the different gin names.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Watch your mouth.
So you have...
I got no problem with Stevie throwing down a couple. I'm all right with it.
Colts fan Jose says, yo, y'all got me on 000, and as a Mexican, I can say that this is the best representation I've seen based on speaking. Also, just started the last NARC. Man. So, he's talking about speaking, but I guess it's just the way they communicated to each other. Because there is a very distinct... There's the Italy... There's the Mexico, and then there's the family who came from, you know, who's from New Orleans, who's part of the shipping. 000 is legit.
Is excellent.
It's legit.
Is excellent.
The one thing that Eric and I always talk about, Eric Layden, you know, he's not doing anything now. He goes, everything's shut down. He can't do anything. He gets unemployment through because he's an LLC. And we were talking about, and he was looking at what's coming out in August on Netflix, and they're starting to add more movies to Netflix. But they still have a lot of stuff that they're cranking out. But he said it is at some point there is going to hit a stopping point for original content, because right now you're talking about April, May, June, July, August, unless you go to a different island or different country, which you're not going to be able to do now. He said, I don't know how anything's going to get made. There's nothing that's going to be able to get made. I think even Pat Condellis for Outcry had to do some of his post-production during pandemic, based on the time frame of when they taped and when, you know, they were able to get it out. But movies that are not being made, like, there's going to be a gap there for content.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to find big productions. I mean, I think Zendaya, who some people may know from her time as a child star, now she's on that show Euphoria. She did a movie with Denzel Washington's kid or son during the pandemic. Obviously they had other people involved.
John David?
He's in the new movie Tenet that we're never going to see because of the pandemic. It's a Christopher Nolan movie, but they made a movie during the pandemic. So it'll have to be these small, quiet movies that come out because it won't be huge productions.
So you could do something almost like a one act plays that are done on a stage somewhere. You could, if you taped everything in a house outside at a park and you've got four people, five people. Now, the thing is, the crew way outnumbers the amount of people that you have. So it would have to be super low budget shot. But you actually could. I mean, people are making content right now.
Well, look at, here's first day of school at Paulding County, Georgia.
That can't be true.
This is the first day of school. Well, it is, the hallway is packed with kids.
Well, that one girl
and
got
four masks. And it is packed with kids.
Kids are immune, remember?
That community's asking.
But here's the thing: is kids are probably like, well, I'm too cool. I ain't wearing no mask. I ain't wearing no mask.
100%.
Yep.
100%. The pressure not to wear a mask.
And because the kids that are wearing the mask are probably like, nerd.
What's going to happen? I might get a runny nose. Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, we're not worried about
that's
you
why
so
Tracy.
Much.
That's why we don't even want you coming. And don't even try to come to a Dogs game this year with a mask on. Do not even come to a Dogs game with a mask on.
Well, I don't think you'll be going to a Dogs game this year.
Oh, we will be at Dogs games. Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
Maybe outside. Dogs,
Kirby and them have I can't wait. We finally got rid of Jake, who was a scrub to begin with.
What?
And now we can get back to him.
I thought you loved Jake. Jake Fromm.
He's all right. I mean,
Aaron Murray?
Yeah,
he ain't no Aaron Murray.
I mean, that time he called himself an elite Wyatt was a little questionable when he was talking about guns and stuff.
Yeah.
But we do love ourselves some Jake.
Bump stock doesn't make you elite.
Not to tell you the truth, he is kind of elite Wyatt.
He just sits. I've seen him hunt feral hogs from a helicopter. Get on the ground with your buck knife and do it like the rest of us. Don't try to come at us with your hoity-toity helicopter shooting. That ain't nothing. That's not Georgia.
Look, but now we got a Jamie and a JT. Now, I mean, they're both transferring in, and they're both eligible immediately. And I thought I liked Jamie, but then I saw JT. That JT Daniels fella from USC.
Yeah.
Now, that ain't the real USC. It's only the Gamecocks. That's the real USC.
Mm-hmm.
But JT Daniels, I like that guy. Jamie Newman, not so much. He reminds me of that Justin Fields fella.
We don't like him too much.
Yeah.
We might have missed on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We might have run the wrong guy.
Oh, yeah. What'd they win? They didn't win nothing.
Kirby and them missed on that one. That's Kirby's job to keep him there.
Yeah.
Why'd he keep the wrong guy? I was glad getting the one guy out and sending him to Washington.
That Jacob Eason fellow.
Big arm guy who couldn't. He did score some pretty good stuff. But
what?
Huh?
They say they love. They say when it comes to hunting and fishing, nobody beats Jake Fromm.
Oh, really?
Jake Fromm is the king of the hunting and fishing.
Told you he was an elite what?
He's elite what?
Yeah, if you missed that, I'm not just calling that out of my ass. Apparently, Jake Fromm was in a text conversation with a girl or something, and she leaked a conversation where he called himself an elite white, and he had to apologize.
Yeah, right. Elite whites should be able to own guns.
Yeah. That was the takeaway.
That was probably not the best thing to text someone. Well, not to snitch to turn them in.
Look, you can't trust anybody.
You can't trust nobody.
That's why I don't join in the group chat.
Uh-uh.
I don't trust either one of you.
What? Just put your stuff out there.
I saved your ass the other day.
You didn't save me because I
saved your ass the other day. Somebody wanted me to screenshot it. I said no because Dell probably get fired over this.
It is random for not
responding to anything.
Yeah,
that's how
very
I get fired.
Random when Dell will. It's got to be a certain topic.
And it ain't going to be you guys bitching about Dusty Baker and his pitching.
Yeah, moves. You weren't mad too?
No, I wasn't.
Well, did you? What were you thinking when Fromber went to inning six and he was in a 70 pitch? That didn't upset you?
No, I was watching Umbrella Academy.
You weren't yelling at the TV?
You were watching what?
I told you I had to get through Umbrella Academy.
4-4. Why would you be watching Umbrella Academy when it's 4-4?
Because there's like 50 more games in baseball. There's only like 4 more episodes of that show I was watching.
There's not 50 more games.
How is Umbrella Academy?
I would take the under on 50 more games.
You won't like it. It's a comic book based TV show.
Oh,
yeah, I told you.
Terrible.
I told you he's not going to like it.
Yeah.
944 ESPN. You know what I like? Betting on the Rockets. Tonight, -4. What do you think? MyBookie.ag, promo code radio.
You're talking about taking.
I know, but I think I'm turning.
Are you turning?
I'm turning. You got Stanley Cup, okay, odds out there. You can bet on NHL games that are going on, NBA games, Major League games. You want World Series futures? You've got it. You can bet on NFL Week 1 right now. You can bet on NFL futures with wins or odds to win the title. All of it. You want to bet on the presidential election? Done. You can do that there. Champions League, if you want to bet on soccer and be bored all day, you can do that too. All at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. They'll match whatever you put in, your initial deposit, and they're going to throw in a $10 Major League Baseball future bet. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 947 on ESPN 97.5. The Big 12 has approved their model. 9 conference games, 1 non-conference game. 9 conference games, 1 non-conference. I really do think that college football has a better chance of making it with just traveling. Here's the deal. If they can keep the kids, the players, away from a lot of the other people. Now, if at these universities, if they're walking around like this Georgia high school where everybody is all and nobody. Listen, I know this. I know coaches are pounding it. You got to wear your mask all the time. All the time. They'll probably have penalties for the kids if they're not wearing them. I know coaches. They'll be like, anybody sees you, if I see you not wearing a mask, you're benched, you're off the team, whatever. You have got to wear a mask. And they wouldn't, like these kids, they wouldn't normally do it if they didn't have to.
Edward on Twitter said, I can confirm kids hate wearing masks.
Yeah.
At least his kids. My kids don't bitch about it, but my kids don't go a lot of places where they have to. They've done it like 3 times. I took 2 of my sons to get haircuts, or 3 of my kids to get haircuts, and they did it then, but they haven't been to a lot of places. But they don't complain about it. My kids don't. But but at a certain age, I'm sure it's like, if the cool kids think, what are you doing wearing a mask? Then all of a sudden, I don't know. Mm. I don't believe in masks either.
Right.
I'm anti-mask just like you are, just like the cool people are.
See, I get on the elevator a lot, and I'm usually the only one that doesn't have a mask on.
Not but, now that you've got Boomer
Naturals.
But then
I don't like to be the only one with a mask on, and other people come. Now I got my Boomer Natural, right?
And you wait.
Because I can breathe.
Say it again. What were you
saying? So if I'm the only one with a mask on, I'm like, I'm kind of a dork.
See, you're what's wrong with the concept.
Why are you concerned about people who don't even think about you?
I don't know.
Why do you care with natural now?
Guys, you want me to take my mask off? I feel kind of dorky.
I mean, it's a little weird. No one else is wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a nerd.
So then everybody thinks, wow, he's a nerd.
You know, I'm a mask person. Like some places, particularly where I live, you have to wear one to get in.
Any restaurant or anything that you go in, you gotta wear a mask.
What other place?
Until you get in, it's like, so all I right,
go,
cool.
I'm halfway to the door and I go, oh, I forgot my mask.
Like what other places would but I
I'm
have?
I have mine all the time with Boomer Natural.
Yeah, exactly. It's comfortable. You can breathe. But what other places where I be going besides the grocery store or to get some food at a restaurant that I'm going to take home where I would be concerned about wearing a mask?
It's not concerned. I forget.
Well, that's
and secondly, and the second and secondly, it's you go to a restaurant, you walk to your table, and then you take your mask off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was a there's a place off of Richmond. I won't say who it is. It's not very close. It's not very far from here at all. And I noticed, and it's got an outdoor place. And as I drove by yesterday, as I was driving home, it was probably about 7, maybe 6:30, 7. And as I drove by, it's just people just, it's not packed, but there's no masks. But it's not like a restaurant where you're sitting down. Oh. It's just people just kind of.
Standing?
Congregating, gathering. Yeah, it wasn't a huge gathering, but
at most restaurants, though, you're at a table and you're away from other
people.
You're
not, well, that's what I'm saying. You're not moving. Yeah. You're not, but this was, and that's when I realized just a lot of people, if they go, they just don't care anyway. They're like, I don't care. Like all these strip clubs that are packed. If they're at a strip club that's packed, they just don't care. The people who are at the party with no mask, you know, the 200 people at mm-hmm. for the draft pick or whatever, they just don't care.
Yeah. It's well, just, I think they just don't you feel care. Like you're invincible, especially if you're young. You know, it's not going to hurt me.
Well, there's some people who think things are hoaxes. And you know what's funny is if you go read, like, it crosses cultural, it crosses racial, it crosses even age. If you go to responses on different people's Instagram pages when they talk about wearing masks or just being careful or COVID being dangerous and whatever the case may be. And I understand the numbers that it's not, the fatality rate's not the same or whatever. But just when people just try to tell you, hey, be careful, wash your hands, wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
The comments people get, like on Bun B's, it's not all white people saying it. You'll see people who are serious, serious conspiracy theorists. Like they really believe this is just done to keep people from voting or to control or whatever the case may be. You go to somebody else's page who has mostly white commenters, it's similar stuff. And I realize there's just some people who just don't think, they either don't think it's real or they don't think it's dangerous. If nothing happens to me, that's fine. I don't want to get it and give it to somebody who gets really sick. And like I said, luckily, my wife's uncle, he's still on a respirator. It's been, I guess, 2 weeks, but there's some signs he's getting better. They're hoping to wean him off of the drug they have to give him to sedate him. So, you know, they're hopeful. And so we're really, you know, his wife got out of the hospital. She went in for a little bit, but got out. So, you know, keeping our fingers crossed. I just know it's just wreaking havoc on her cousin. She is just, you know, really upset about her dad being in this position. So, I mean, it's real for some people. I know for other people, they're lucky, and that's great. And I hope if anything happens to my family that we're lucky and as asymptomatic as possible. But I also know some people are not lucky like that at all.
Nope. Yeah. 12-game schedule for the Sun Belt. Like,
when's it being played?
They're going to start right at the beginning.
So they're going fall?
Sun Belt title game could be pushed back 1 week though to December 12th.
Okay, but the SWAC said they're going in the spring.
Yep.
Right? Has any other?
I was wondering what the Sun Belt would do. That's Lafayette and
going in the spring.
No, they're going 12-game schedule in the fall. They ain't doing 10 games of 10-1. They're not doing just conference. They're doing a 12-game schedule.
So they think they are.
Do they have the opponents for a 12-game schedule?
That's
well. I think they're playing their schedule and then filling in with the teams that have backed out.
So that's what I'm asking. So yeah. Are they going to pull?
Well, you got all kinds of, you know, Missouri states.
Oh yeah,
well, North Dakota states. All
Missouri,
those.
Well, they can't play everybody, John.
So the Sun Belt. Right. So the Sun Belt.
But there's a bunch of those.
So the Sun Belt schools have money for cash games, or they can pay an FCS school to come and play.
No.
So how are they going to? That's why I'm asking. How are they going to get to 12? How many cash games are they going to pay for?
Well, you probably
fans are going to. Hey, stands are going to be open. You know, honestly, if you think about it. If 15,000, you know how many games that I watch on tape where I can see the sideline shows me the amount of people? Like if I'm watching a Stony Brook game, you can just say, we're selling tickets just like always. We're only going to have 7,000 people right, there anyway right. in a 20,000 seat stadium. It's not like Rice. There is no reason to keep Rice. Rice should be allowed to sell tickets. Sell as much as you want.
Well, they
can't
will,
give
but they're going to say it's limited now to the first.
Well, we're only going to sell 10,000 this year. We're only going to sell 10,000 is the most we're selling.
That's it.
But Rice,
then they'll have
can,
to paper
can
the place.
Easily have games and be completely social distance.
Well, yeah. If you in that stadium,
just spread out a little bit.
In that stadium,
the road fans,
it's already social distanced.
No, I know. That's what I mean. There's lots of games where I watch. I mean, lots of games where it's just not. If you're not a big, we're used to seeing the Power Five. There's group of five games where you watch. It's like, man, there's just not a lot of people at these games.
At Miami games.
There's just not. I don't think there's it's crazy to say that
more than what you're talking about. As far as I hear you,
not really.
Joke. Yeah, that's actually true. They,
not really.
Yeah, they average about 45,000-50,000 per game. So that's your theory.
I think college football, if they play, if you're going to play, I think it is reasonable to consider 20% to 25%.
See, some of the math on this confuses me because I know an airline will tell you that we circulate the air, we refresh it, but why is it safer to throw 100 plus people into that cylinder than to, let's say, put 20,000 into a 70,000 seat stadium? I know the issue would be getting people in and out because that's when they come.
That's when they congregate.
That's
the biggest issue, yeah.
But if you time it up where you have certain people come in at a certain time so you can do the socially distant thing, why couldn't you put that?
You could
in an outside stadium
as long as your seating arrangements are such that there's enough room. It's completely doable.
Yeah, and no one's doing the research because I'm sure NASCAR doesn't want you doing the research because when they've thrown people into places, reduced capacity, but they've done it, and we haven't heard necessarily about super spreader events coming from NASCAR races outside limited capacity.
Right.
So if NASCAR is doing it and is not harming their patrons, why wouldn't you be able to do it for football? But there's so much attention on college football, particularly because you got the unpaid athletes, quote unquote unpaid, and then you have super spreader event. There are a lot of things working against them getting people in the stands, but I don't see why you couldn't do it.
But they're the ones that really need that money of ticket sales. I mean, because their TV deals aren't very good. If they could get, even if you could get, 8,000 to 10,000 people into a 40,000 seat venue, or let's just say it's 20,000 seat venue, and you could get 6,000. That's 6,000 you weren't getting before. Like, that could end up, I'm not saying it's a huge deal, but, you know, if people are paying $10 a ticket, that's a $60,000 game for them. That could mean the difference between being able to keep women's basketball or not for some of these very small schools. So if you could pull it off, if you're going to have games and you're an outdoor venue, just like you said, Del, it's the biggest problem is how you get in and out of the gates. But if you could organize that and set that up, I don't think that's crazy to be able to have people getting in there. It's going to be, I think the one thing we know is it's going to be limited to 20 to 25%. Yeah. I don't think it's 50.
Now, the NFL says, well, at least most places, the Raiders said no fans. Now they're inside. That's an inside building, but or building within an enclosed space. But the Dolphins know have a plan, I believe, to have people in the stands. We know, I think Jacksonville has a plan. So I think the NFL is going to have people in the building. I don't know why that wouldn't just slip over to college football as well, as long as the plan is good. But we're not scientists or doctors, so we can't really speak on this subject now, can we?
No. Nope. All we can do is get a death count. Death count?
It's actually gone down.
Has it? You see?
Actually, football.
We're going to play football.
Because less people are dying?
It's gone. Yep. Well, it's gone down, and hospitalization stays and things like that have gone down because they know how to treat it better now.
Yeah.
Like, have you heard anything about Houston? This is what you're not hearing. Actually, the numbers have gone, the hospital numbers have gone down in Houston. We've taken more precautions now, but the hospital, when's the last time you heard about hospital space in Houston being a problem? I hadn't heard about it for a while.
Nope.
That's good.
Nope. I don't watch the news, though, so I don't know. 9:59 ESPN 97.5.
What if the news had a daily poker segment? Would you watch?
Oh, absolutely.
But they didn't tell you when, so you had to watch the entire news to see your poker segment.
Well, but okay, but is there a golf segment too?
Let's say they threw in an impromptu golf segment and poker segment, but they never told you when, so you had to watch the entire thing. Would you do it?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. As long as I learned something from the poker segment. If not, beat it. 9:59 ESPN 97.5. Beat it.